Well, welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got open lines for you this hour. Next hour, our very special tribute to the late Art Bell. It is, I've got to tell you, it is almost unbelievable to just think back that this tragedy occurred a year ago. 1 year ago. I was in St. Louis broadcasting out of the cave when we were getting reports that he had passed on. Tom was producing the show for me, and our executive producer, Lisa Lyon, was in contact with us. And I said, have you confirmed this? You have got to confirm this. I am not going on the air, and I'm not going to announce that he has passed if this thing hasn't happened. I mean, it's Friday the 13th. How do we know somebody's not pulling the wool over our eyes, folks? Check this out. And they tried. George Knapp was working on it, and he said, it's a true story. It's happened. And then the Nye County Sheriff's Department made an announcement, and then we went with the story. But I just can't believe it's been about a year. I was interviewed by a couple podcasts that are doing some tributes tomorrow, being the anniversary, which is now, it's the 13th already. And we were talking about the different things that had affected all of us in our lives and our careers. And mine especially was when I was filling in for Art back in the 2001, when that all started for me. And my first fill-in show was for Ian Punnett, who was working a Sunday. Ironically, Ian fills in for me now, how strange things are. But that was something. But I was on the air listening to Art one night, and he said, you're going to like this guy who fills in. He gets it. And he was mentioning me, and I felt like a little kid. At that time, I was in St. Louis doing what was called the Nighthawk Show. It was a nighttime show that had similar guests, Stanton Friedman and people like that, that I had interviewed for years. And so the transition for me was pretty easy for me, because the format was generally the same on a much smaller basis, of course. But my old producer at the time, Howard Morton, sent me the CD of the open for the Nighthawk Show. And I listened to it and went, gosh, it was so cool doing stuff like that. But just for kicks, I wanted you to hear it.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
It's the Nighthawk!
Yes,
the Nighthawk!
Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men.
The Nighthawk!
Who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as
George Norrie,
mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
That's how I would start one of my hours, my last hour of the night, every night that we were on the program. And we had some fun in those days. And, of course, we're going to have fun with you next when we come back in a moment with Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Gino in Chesterfield, Missouri. I used to live out that way. Hi, Gino. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm in one of your commercials every week. I love it. I'm a Coast to Coast insider.
Oh, yes, you are. That's your that's your voice. I love it.
The reason I call is I wanted to know, you sound so full of energy, so young. I wonder what supplements you take, and please tell me the truth. What supplements do you take every day in order to keep that energy and the youngness that you have in your voice and to keep you going every day.
How old do you think I sound, by the way? If you had to guess my age just from listening to me.
I know you're 6 years older than me. I'm 62.
All right.
So I think you're 68.
But how old do I sound?
You sound like you're in your 40s.
Really?
Yes, you do.
Well, that's cool. I hope I got the 20 more years to go.
You do. And that's why I wanted to know.
All right. I will
know what supplements
you do. I will tell you what I do, exactly what I do. First of all, some time ago, I had some health issues. I thought I took care of myself, but obviously I didn't. And it changed the course of my life. And I decided at that time to change the way I lived, the supplements and everything else. So this is what I do. 4 days a week, I do the Royal Canadian Exercise Course. It's a very simple series of exercises, treadmill. You don't need a lot of weights or anything like that, but it's just a very simple thing. I do some extra things with that, but it's called the Royal Canadian Air Force Exercise Course. You can buy the booklet on Amazon.com. It's a little tiny booklet, and they break it down by your age. So if you're 50 years old, it tells you a level you should be at to do a series of these exercises, and they have pictures there and everything else. And I go a little before that. So, you know, I use my age and what they recommend, and then I go beyond that, and I do that 4 days a week. I do that Monday through Thursday. And Friday is my day to take the day off or whatever I have to do. And then in terms of supplementation, I take a lot of Youngevity criticalhealthnews.com products, a lot of them, from the Tangy Tangerine. I take it in the capsule form. Doc Wallach likes it in the powder form. I take it in the capsule form because it's easy for me. I travel a lot, and you just put it in your suitcase and off you go. A supplement every day, a multiple vitamin every day, magnesium every day, D3 every day, zinc every day. I take L-arginine. I take Super Beets. I just do it all on a regular basis 7 days a week. I don't miss. As a matter of fact, if I travel and I don't have time to do it in the morning, wherever I end up, I'll make sure I take those supplements later. And if I go away for a couple days, whether I travel to Denver to do the Beyond Belief television shows, I'll make up the vitamin packet. You know, you go to a pharmacy, you go to Walgreens or CVS, and you can buy these plastic little tubes that have all these days on it. And you just flip them open and put your vitamins in there. And that's what I do. And I have been doing this now for 20 years on a regular basis, and I've not missed one day. Not one. Not with the exercises, not with the vitamins. And knock on wood, you know, I'll keep that 40-year-old voice and keep doing what I'm doing. Next up, let's go to, thank you, Gino. I always appreciate what you're doing. Jim in Rochester, New York, welcome to the show. Hi, Jimmy.
Hi. First of all, thanks for having us as an affiliate here in Rochester on Clear Channel, WM 1180. Appreciate that. Love the bumper music, by the way, too. I like the variety and the selection you have on that.
Great. Thank you.
Your last caller kind of stole my thunder a little bit. He made reference briefly to an actress who was in one of those 70s sci-fi shows. But I'll throw the question to you. I thought if you might know, has there ever been any plans in the works on a, I guess you'd call it a reboot or a remake of a British program from the 70s called Space 1999? I always loved that one.
I have never heard of the possibility of a remake on that show. I don't remember it. What was that one like?
That one starred Barbara Bain, and it also had Martin Landau. I don't think it was an American television show, even though it ran here in the States for a few years in the 70s. I think that was produced in Great Britain. If you don't remember it, by all means, obviously with the Internet nowadays, I'm sure you could check it out. It was a very interesting show.
And I remember Barbara Bain, of course, because as Mark mentioned, she went on to do Mission Impossible. Didn't Martin Landau do that too?
Right, those were the two main characters. Barbara Bain and Martin Landau were both in that program.
Yep, absolutely. No, but I don't have any knowledge of them wanting to redo the show, but I'm going to go back on YouTube and look at some of the old ones. That's the great thing about YouTube, by the way. We've got our own YouTube channel, too. It's free to subscribe. Just go ahead and look for Coast to Coast AM Official at YouTube and sign up for it and watch some of the old programs that we've done and listen to them and things like that. But it's got great old-time television. If you're into old-time television, they've got everything there, all kinds of clips. Let's go to Annie in Alabama. Welcome to the program. Hello, Annie.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
You are quite welcome.
Do you remember Jonestown, South Africa, back around the late 70s, Reverend Jim Jones?
Oh, yes. I know that story.
That's an old story. He managed to brainwash approximately 900 people into drinking Kool-Aid, and it's my understanding that they knew that it was going to kill them.
I don't know if they knew it per se, but they sure followed him to the end of the world, didn't they?
This is nothing new. This goes on a lot with certain religious groups. Among Muslims, a lot of people will blow themselves up.
They're fanatics, thinking that, you know, they're going to join their God and do whatever they have to do. And it's unfortunate that people are taking their lives, you know, in the act of God.
So we know that it's not unheard of.
No,
it's
not unheard of, and it's going to continue again. Sometime, somewhere, you'll have these mass suicides again.
I would like to draw some parallels between the shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, and the shooting at the mosque in Christchurch in New Zealand, because there were a couple of things about those two shootings that stood out that were not normal behavior. You can take a random sampling of the population. You're going to find roughly a third of the population packing some heat and ready to fire back.
Well, they better, and that's the reason why we have concealed weapon laws these days, Annie. First of all, anybody who becomes a mass shooter, there's something wrong with them mentally, to be sure. Crazy situation. Even if they're a terrorist, there's something wrong with them, I think. Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Cornelius.
Hey, George, I'm surprised you didn't call me corny tonight, and thanks to Gina and stuff. I'm so glad you're giving a tribute to Art Bell. He was a great character and everything. First, I want to say, George, my father is going to go through a little CT scan on April the 16th, and I would hope the Coast to Coast listeners and callers and put him on the prayer list.
He's on. What's his first name, Cornelius?
Same name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm the junior and he's the senior.
So his name is Corny White, too?
Yes. Yes, George. But I wanted to, I told Gina I got a story about Art Bell, but what I wanted to tell you first, on Space 1999, that was my favorite show. It started in 1975, and it is an English or British show on this channel called the Folklore Channel on 218 on the Dish Network. It comes on Sunday from 3 Central Time to 7. So they show about 4 episodes of Space 1999 on the Dish Channel. It's called Folklore Channel.
I don't remember that show, but everybody seems to love it.
1975. What happened was we had just had a moon base created on moon base. We had had the space station and stuff. And what happened on the moon base was they had nuclear energy on there, and they would had a waste pile. And what happened was it blew up and sent the moon out into space like a rocket ship. And of course, it blew the space station apart.
Oh, jeez!
Geosynchronous orbit messed it up. So the moon is just shot out in the middle of space, like it's a real spaceship. But it's amazing, George, when you get a chance to see it.
Do you know what would happen to this planet without the moon? All kinds of things.
Earthquakes and stuff. But I love that show. And it was the most expensive sci-fi show at that time. I think they said they spent $300,000 an episode just to make that show. But it was good special effects and everything.
But what I wanted to tell you, one of the listeners writes me and stuff other than Barry, and they sent me some candy today. I call her Roost Radio. She gave me a Sea Crane radio, so I'm able to listen to y'all. So I'm going to go on with my Art Bell story now.
All right, go ahead.
I used to call Art Bell, and so he said, man, you're always on the wild card line, Mr. White. I'm going to call you Wild Card White. So that's my little Art Bell story.
That was your nickname with it. I call you Corny. He calls you Wild Card White.
Wild Card White. I said, man, I just couldn't believe it. And I'm so glad, George, you're giving a tribute to him because, like I said, without him, we wouldn't have Coast to Coast AM. And you've carried it on, like I said, out of this world, essentially. So God bless you, George, and thank you for letting me tell my little story.
Okay, yeah, we're very proud of where we're going and keeping things going. We're at about 620 affiliates now in North America. That includes Canada. And we, of course, have Streamlink as Coast Insiders. That's growing like crazy, too. And, you know, we're on iHeart's podcasting, and it's just been a great show. And you know what's so remarkable about this program? My staff hasn't changed since the beginning. Nobody's left. It's just amazing. Tom's here. Dan's here. Gina's here. Lisa's here. Stephanie's here. Sean's here. Lex is here. We've added a few more. Tim Bedall and Greg Bishop works out for us. He's manning the site now. It's truly amazing. Carlos in San Francisco's with us. Hey, Carlos, how are you?
Hey, how are you, Mr. Norrie? I have to say, I haven't seen any photos of you, but so I've been starting to listen to you till about late 2016. And the guy that asked you about when you asked him how you thought you sound, I thought that you were in your mid to late 40s.
Boy, that's great.
I'm really surprised because you do sound, there's a prosody and an enunciation, and there's just this kind of youthfulness in your voice, and then there's of course the sincerity. So I was surprised when you referenced your age, and I took notes of what your regimen was being a person in my 50s. So
it does, it works.
Yeah. So my question to you is this: it's something I've been thinking about in the wake of the Julian Assange arrest by the British police, subsequent expulsion from the Ecuadorian embassy. And you know, I'm kind of wondering if there's been any narratives out there that you may have been aware of between the timing of really what's going to of his arrest and his expulsion from the Ecuador and possibly the eradication of WikiLeaks and the release of the potential release of the Mueller report.
You know, I thought about that, Carlos, because the timing is amazing. I've always believed there are no coincidences, that things happen for a reason, that fate takes over. And in this particular case, you know, the Ecuadorian embassy folks said, we've had enough of him, let's get him out. It's weird timing. It really is weird timing. Now, is he a criminal? I don't know. Let's find out what they uncover and things like that. He's not a kind of a new, he's not like a journalist of the New York Times when they took the Pentagon Papers from Daniel Ellsberg. We'll continue with open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. George Norrie back with you. Open lines here. We will have our special tribute to Art Bell next hour here on Coast to Coast with a special guest who will be appearing as well. Let's go to the phones. Donnie in Modesto, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Donnie. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you tonight?
Okay, Donnie. How about you?
Pretty good. Second night in a row. That's pretty good.
That is good. That's good timing. Some people can't get through forever. Others know how to do it. There is a secret to it, but I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah, and I think I might have it figured out. Anyway, yeah, last night was good. You guys received me pretty well. I think John was on, and I enjoyed Mark. You know, what a brilliant mind you guys have.
They're super guests, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and you too, though. I mean, you know, you're at the helm, you know. So you have to credit yourself.
I'm the pilot, but I got a good staff that gets us down.
Oh, I know. And your screener tonight, she was just gracious. And Tommy was very nice last night. I appreciate
that. Yeah, good people.
I know when they get slammed, they get a little bit uptight. But, you know, I mean, just like everybody in everyday life, we have our good and bad moments.
But generally, they're pretty sharp people, aren't they?
Best in the world, George. You guys are on top. You know, I mean, I think about it, and I think about the 30 years or so I've been listening to you guys, and I miss Art, you know?
He's one of a kind.
You know, and that's difficult. But besides that, I'm kind of an emotional guy. But I remember Art. Well, it's like an evolution, though, if you think about it. You filled the void when Art was having his problems and, you know, going through what he was, had to go through at the time. You came up, and like you say, at one time you filled in for
Ian.
For Ian.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden here you rise to the top, and, you know, but it's strange the way the world evolves, but everything, it seems to me that everything evolves for a reason. Like you say, there's no coincidences. And it's like it's either all planned out extravagantly or it just happens naturally. But, you know, it's I think it's all part of evolution, right?
Yeah. And maybe sometimes we make these things happen. Because I remember when I first heard Art Bell myself back in 1996 for me. And I was just starting my local show in St. Louis, and I went, gosh, I want to do a show like that. He's, you know, he's interviewing people I know and stuff like that. And the more I listened, the more I said, I'm fascinated with this. And my wish was one day to fill in on that show. And lo and behold, it happened. And I'm going to tell you a funny story. Can I take a minute of your time out of your call?
Absolutely. I'm all ears.
So Mike Siegel, who replaced Art, was doing some work for us in St. Louis on the station I was at. I was on KTRS.
Right.
And as soon as he got he was in Seattle, but we pulled him in on ISDN lines when he would fill in on our local show. When they announced that he was doing Art Bell's show, he got hired to replace Art. I said, Mike, you know, give him my tape. I'd love to be your fill-in, your backup. Well, Mike didn't last that long, but he passed my tape on to Alan Corbett.
I remember that.
And then Alan said, we're going to use you. Art came back, and then he had his back issues and stuff. And I was there. I was in the right place at the right time. Well, when he finally decided to retire back in 2002, in September, he told the network that he was done. They turned to me, and they flew me back to Los Angeles to meet me in person. They had not met me yet, to make me the offer to replace Art.
Absolutely.
And the president of our network at the time was a fellow by the name of Craig Kitchen. Now, I'm going to jump ahead when I'm 28 years old, and I'm a producer and executive producer in Detroit, producing television newscasts. And my anchor man at the time was a fellow by the name of Ken Thomas, who would bring his little boy in to watch the newscasts and play around the station and stuff, and just cute little kid.
Right.
And that is 1977, 78, right around there.
Right.
Ken Thomas was not his real name, but that was his air name that he used. So I'm jump ahead again now. Now I'm in the office of Ken Kitchen. And Craig Kitchen, and I look at a picture, and lo and behold, he's got a picture of Ken Thomas on his desk, and whose real name was Ken Kitchen. And I looked at it and said, I worked with that guy. That's your father, who had passed on. And he looked at me and said, yeah, that's my dad. And I said, you were the little boy.
Yeah.
And he was. He was the little boy that came into my television station in 1977, 78, and he ended up being the president of our network. And it was, you talk about synchronicity, you can't write a script like that.
Yeah, I always thought that reality was stranger than fiction, and I've had things like that kind of follow me my whole life, and I always wonder, you know, what's ahead for the future from here. And so, yeah, that's a great story. I love that story. They're very nice. And, yeah, you deserve to be in the synchronicity. You know, I think there's a lot of luck and a lot of skill involved. But when everything meets, you know, our reality. And that's another thing about what Mark was talking tonight. I mean, that guy's got a brilliant mind. He's like probably multiple times what Rod Sterling was, but he's like the new Rod Sterling.
Yeah,
right?
He's a genius.
Genius. And I mean, I'm listening to this guy, you know, and talking about how I'm doing 6 scripts and have 350 different ideas for future programs. And then another thing that was remarkable about listening about Mark was his Kickstarter program that, I mean, it was amazing. $1 million here.
I know. That's incredible.
Okay. And so that is fantastic. And so you're only limited by, you know, your ideas, but here this guy is now and where he deserves to be. And I'm going, you know, that's evolution. I go, it's evolution from Art Bell to George Norrie, evolution from Rod Sterling. And it's like, I don't know if you ever read or heard that each generation increases their, I think the cranium and the brain capacity.
It grows.
Increases every generation. They say our great-great-grandparents or great-great-grandmother had a lot less, intelligence or even cranial space that has evolved since just over, you know, 100 years.
Yeah, that's
and
a good point.
So are we evolving and becoming more intelligent and our brains are growing, you know, every generation? And so it's all part of evolution. And just this is a beautiful thing.
Inch by inch. Donnie, I'm going to take a few other calls. And, you know, one of the things I tell my kids, the three of them, and my little grandchildren now, is it's opportunity and you need to be ready for it. And that's the important thing. You never know when the door is going to open. You never know. But once it does, you need to be ready for whatever that opportunity is. So whether you're going to be a great talk show host or a producer or a person who's an IT person or whatever the occupation that you're in, be the very best you can be. Because when that door opens one day for you, you want to be able to be the best you can. And that's the secret of all of this. It's timing and being ready to do it and do it in a very good way. Donnie, thanks for your call. Laura's with us in Manchester, New Hampshire, first-time caller. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the program. Are you still with us? Laura? Well, she waited too long. East of the Rockies, John's with us, though, in Oak Grove, Missouri. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you, George?
Wonderful, sir. Thank you.
I would like to talk about these three movies, the three shows, two are TV shows, and one is a movie, my favorite.
All right. Go for it.
The movie, it was made in 1953. At that time, it was one of the most high-tech movies ever made. It was The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, that's great. The one with Michael Rennie.
And, right. And I read an article on it, and the director was in the limo, and he was writing in the limo, and the limo stopped, and he says, "Where in the hell am I going to get somebody for that robot?" And the door opened up, and he stepped out, and he says, "Welcome." And he looked up, and he looked up, and he looked up, and there was this guy.
There it is.
7'5". And he says, "How would you like to be in the movie?"
And what was the name of the robot? Was Gort, right?
Right, and the guy was the doorman.
Oh, that's amazing.
And far as the TV show goes, do you remember the Outer Limits?
Oh, I love that show.
Okay. Well, my favorite episode was the one where the scientists developed a chamber, and it was a vacuum, and he caused a explosion, and he created Earth. and he was watching through the telescope, and it had the dinosaurs and everything else, and he was watching New York City grow and everything else and everything else, and he said through the, and then for some reason he had to go to the store, and he came back and he told his wife, he says, well, I'm going to see the future. And he walked in, and there was a chair through the window. And he came back out, and he says, what in the hell did you do? And she said, you're always in that lab. You're always watching it through that telescope. You don't pay no attention to me. Well, the moral of the story was, who is watching us?
Exactly. Now, that started in 1963. How old would you have been, John?
Oh, I think I was probably about 63. I think I was maybe about, I was 17 years old.
17. Yeah, I was 13 when that was. It was a great show. I remember that. Let's take a few more calls, and then we'll have our tribute to Art Bell next hour, if we can. Let's go to Newark, Delaware. Jim's with us now. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, George, good morning.
Good morning to you.
I got a guest suggestion. I want to say something about George Soros and make a prediction.
All right, go for it.
But first, isn't it true that Art Bell died by mixing medicine? Did he with mixing prescription medicine with medicine he was already taking?
He had legal prescription medicine, and he had a series of combinations of these prescribed pills in his system. So he mixed them, and that caused his death.
Wow, that's what I thought. Anyway, the guest suggestion is David Horowitz. He's a Jew.
Oh, we're working on that. We're going to have him on.
So he's going to talk about his book, Dark Agenda,
the
war against American Christians.
Exactly.
Listening that night.
That's in process.
The thing about George Soros is, here's what I think. If he promotes the Antichrist as the Messiah, you know what that would make him?
What would that make him? The devil?
No, that would make him his false prophet, and according to Revelation, both are cast alive into the lake of fire.
Well, that could be. I don't know that much about George Soros's religious background, but he sure finances a lot of things, strange things, deep state things, with his billions and billions of dollars. There's no doubt about that. Let's take another quick call. Let's go to Lance in Tennessee. Lance, let's squeeze you in. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Mr. Norrie, first-time caller, about a short-time listener. I haven't heard your coast-to-coast for about the last 6 months. Right?
Well, come aboard and become one of our regulars.
Well, I love it. I guess you're going to be like my was the James Bond, you know, Roger Moore was my guy. You know, I never heard of this Art.
Art was Sean Connery.
I'm going to have to hear him after I've done
talking to you. Exactly. I'm going to have some clips coming up in just a few moments, so just keep listening.
Okay, well, I'm off the grid, and one of your callers a few weeks ago has given me your address. I'm writing to you, Ventura Boulevard 405, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Okay, well, anyway, tonight I was going to, part of this story, I was wanting to see if you could ever speak to Charlie Daniels.
The country western singer?
Yes. He wrote a song in 1971 called Uneasy Rider, okay?
All right.
He talks about being in a Chevrolet, and everybody knows it's got a four-speed mag wheels, you know, four-on-the-floor peace sign mag wheels. But anyway, story short, Harrison Ford, I'm going to kind of give away my guess.
I'm at the top of the hour, so what we're going to have to do is on our next open line, definitely make sure you get in and tell us a little bit more about this. I'll go listen to the song over the weekend, and and hear that. But definitely call us and tell us all about this story, because we've got our tribute to Art Bell next.